Welcome this morning. Glad to have you all here. This morning, I want to just walk through a couple things that God is really doing here at Grace. With being on staff, you know, there's always been a lot going on at Grace, it seems, for the last 15 years. I don't know what it is, but it just seems to have gotten busier and busier and busier at Grace. We've slowed down at times, and then, you know, we've jumped back in and put tons of effort, and everybody's just busy working and plowing through things. But I wanted to take the time this morning to go through a couple different things. I want to talk about what we're doing right now and what gifts God has given us as we get to see that as a staff on a daily basis. But for what it does for us as a staff, it energizes us. And I want you to recognize that this is something that is super cool that we've got to share with you so you know what God is doing here. Because if we don't know what God's doing, how do we grow our faith? How do we know that he's being faithful in all that's going on? So let's open in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and are so grateful for what you're doing here at Grace Community Church. Father, you have blessed us and blessed us and blessed us over and over again. You've walked us through difficult times. You walked us through just times of overflow. But yet, we thank you for your love for us and what you're doing in the hearts here at Grace Community Church, because you love us and you desire relationship with us and you delight in us as your children. You're a good father all the time, even when it's hard. And Father, for those of us here this morning that are hurting and struggling and just wanting something more, because we're empty, may you, above all else, let's fill our cups this morning, Father. Because that's the only way we can work, is if you've filled our cups. So this morning, I ask for your Holy Spirit to come with us, be on us and working in our hearts to hear what you're saying, as well as speaking to us and convicting us of where are we at? Where do I need to come to you, Father, so that you can freely work in my heart? Father, come. Come be with us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, this morning is I want to talk about God's gifts to us and our response, what our responses should be. They're all going to be different because we're not all the same. I want to start with just recognizing that God has continued to bring us these little packages of joy called babies over and over and over. We have been blessed with, I don't know how many again this year, but it's awesome. It's awesome. Amen to that. Yeah. We should be excited about that. We should be excited because that's the life of our church. That's what's going to take us into the next generation. That is the arrows, as God's word tells us, that we're going to shoot out of our quivers to spread the gospel throughout the world. So, and within that, Jenny Newman and Corinne Sander have been working feverishly with the nursery, and they do such an awesome job with that. They have sacrificed themselves over and over again being in the nursery while we get to sit in here and enjoy the messages that Don, Pastor Don, gives us. They sit in here and relax a little bit away from the little ones that take everything away from us. And I want to apologize for Good Friday, that evening service. We didn't have nursery. I'm sorry, that was my fault. I said, no, we can get by without it. There was a few moms and dads that didn't necessarily say anything, but would have appreciated it. So I'm sorry, that's my fault. Please forgive me. That was my decision. We'll do better next year. But we're just short on help, and we need to give our nursery workers a break. So let's think through that. I'm gonna say this with all our ministries. We need more people to be involved. The more people we get involved, the more relationships are built, the more joy we receive, and the more we get to actually see what God is doing. When we're on the outside, not necessarily plugged in, we don't always get to see these things that God is doing. Nursery is no different than Kingdom Kids or Grace Kids. Kingdom Kids and Grace Kids, last fall, well, let's start with Kingdom Kids. Last fall, it started out, the first meeting, they had 98 kids. 98 kids. Yeah, we should be ecstatic about that. That's 98 kids that showed up to hear the gospel. And it continued. We didn't have 98 every week, every other week, sorry, they meet every other week. We didn't have 98 every other week, but yet we had a massive amount of kids that got to hear the gospel every week, every week. Natasha and her team have been so awesome about pouring their hearts out into these kids. We've had numbers of kids accept Christ. We've had numbers of kids being baptized. We've had kids, last week was the last Kingdom Kids for the year, and so they did a movie night. And so we got to see a video. I don't think they'll play it here, and that's okay. But we got to see a video with these kids carrying these, what are they called? They're little, what is that? Little light bulb finger dingers. You know, they're something, you shake them and turn them on, away they go. And it's dark in here, and they're just singing and praising and worshiping. And yet just slamming these things together. And just, it's just an awesome time for those kids to praise Jesus. How they like to do that with all their energy and all the stuff that they have. No different than Grace Kids in the back. Lydia Mick helps lead all that. And the volunteers that do that, they get to go back and they get to hear a story out of the biggest storybook Bible that talks to them in their language. So you look at that. You look at the time and the energy and the effort, but yet the blessings, because we get to watch young kids turn their hearts over to Jesus and get to know him and come to life at a young age so they don't have to wait. That's what's happening with our little kids that we have, that you have all been just constantly blessing us with. Please don't stop. We'll just keep taking more. It's okay. We'll figure it out. That's why we're blowing this wall out, right? And that's okay. That's okay. Let's keep doing what we're doing, bringing our kids, talking to our neighbors. These kids are sharing with their neighbors. They're bringing their kids in from school and things like that to be part of this. What an awesome way to witness. What an awesome harvest that we can have here at Grace for the kingdom if we keep doing the things that matter, and that's spreading the gospel. I should look at my notes again before I get all mixed up. Then we have our youth. Tim Ferriss has been here for almost 13 months. Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, and he has He and Mariana have been doing an awesome job with our youth, middle schoolers and high schoolers. They've been meeting kind of every other week. Next fall, it's planned to meet every week. That's their plan, is to meet every week to develop some consistency, because they have leaders that they're starting to come up and raise up, and the consistency, no different than us having Sunday mornings together, the consistency of the youth meeting together, and they'll be on Sunday nights, will help grow them and help give them the encouragement they need in a weekly basis to do what they're doing. Right now, we have the kids that are coming, these junior hires, and they're at school, and they're doing lunch, and Tim's kids are leading the noon prayer at the tables in the lunchroom. So how cool is that, huh? How cool is that? Yeah, amen, we should be. That is awesome, right? We should be excited about that. Think of the impact that has on the one leading the prayer, let alone his friends that are sitting around this table that don't know Jesus. We had three youth baptized here a few weeks ago. They were telling their friends that they were going to get baptized. And their friends were asking questions about what is this and why are you doing that? I mean, the gospel is moving forward. The gospel is reaching across the streets to our neighbors, in our schools. Everywhere we go, we should be doing this. What a gift. When you think of that, what a gift we have from our nursery to our kingdom kids, to our grace kids, to our junior or middle and high schoolers. What a ministry that God has gifted us with, that we get to do that. And if the staff was in here today and we had the time to do it, they could share you story and story and story over what's happening in their different groups that they meet in and where God is working and how it's changing lives. And it is super awesome to see what's happening. Tim has asked that we pray for them. And I want you to think about this, because I'd like you to pray for Tim and his team, and pray that God would bless the groups that he has, because they meet, you know, the staff within Tim and Mariana and the staff that they have are serving. They break them up into little groups to get together and discuss a lesson and pray together and these types of things. But you'd pray that they would raise them up to be gospel leaders. He also asked if you would pray for more leaders who sense the call to serve our youth. Our youth, our nursery, kingdom kids, grace kids, again, they're all great places to step into. And lastly, he said, pray that the Lord would provide well for this change that is happening next fall. To go from meeting every other week to meeting every week is a little more drain on all of our staff, and we could use some more staff to help work through that. Tim and Mariana could use some more leaders to step in. So just think about that. This is not, I don't say these things to be a guilt trip. That's not what this is about. This is about to let you know what's going on and to ask you and to invite you into what God is doing here at Grace Community Church. How many times have you heard Don say there's something going on here? The Holy Spirit is working here. Plug in, get connected, and see what Don is talking about. Get an understanding of where God is moving and why he's moving. The other thing that I wanted to talk about before we really get into where I want to preach from this morning is that I'm going to read a list here of kind of, besides these ministries, a list of kind of what's going on in the world of small groups and on all the other ministries that we have. So we have Bloom and Belong, we have Adoption Support, we have MomCo, we have Crew Ministries, we have BSF and Fuller, we have Small Group, Light Groups, AV and Worship Teams, we have Men's Groups, Women's Groups, and Prayer every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And let's not forget, we have Intro to Grace, Centered Life, Gospel-Centered Life, Gospel-Centered Life Groups, Gospel Eldership Groups. We have a search committee and elder deacon teams that meet all the time. Not all the time. Once a month, sorry. And we are discipling, building relationships, and spreading the gospel in many different places, many different times, in many different ways. When you think about that, what I read, all those different teams, and then you realize that we are still doing youth group, Kingdom Kids, Grace Kids, and Sunday morning services with a nursery. You just kind of go, wow, there's a lot going on. I had talked with somebody outside of Grace, and we were talking about what's happening. And he just shook his head, and he just said, man, you guys are really busy. We are really busy. And in the past, we have taken a break. We took a Kingdom Kids break for a whole year. We were really concerned about that because we were exhausted. It was kind of during the COVID times, and that was not a lot of fun to begin with. But we were exhausted, and we just didn't have the resources, the people, to lead this, lead it well at all. So we said, let's take a break and breathe life back into it. We were concerned about how fall was going to be, and it took off and kind of had a trajectory like this. You know, maybe the first meeting was small, but then everybody was back into it, and it was like we never stopped at all. And in fact, I think it was more powerful than when we had it before. I'm not saying we're going to take a break. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is God is working through the hearts and the lives of people here at Grace Community Church. If you want more, if you want God to work in our lives, we have to step in and step out and be willing to do something other than enjoy what's happening. We're not going to grow our faith unless we put our feet into it. That is the only way that we're going to grow our faith, is to trust God and be willing to do something else. I've left out one thing on purpose, and that was our beloved pastors. And I say plural because we had Scott for quite a few years. In our days, I miss him. I'm sure y'all do too. I used beloved very, very specifically because I think that was Scott. In all of our hearts. Now we got Don in there too. I carry Don in that same place. I have the privilege, and I think I've told you this, I have the privilege of getting to be with Don on kind of the Mondays a little bit when he's here in town, and I've got a chance to come down here, and we'll spend half a day or a day together. We get to dig into the Word. We get to spend some time talking. You know, he shares his ministry stories. He shares what his life has been doing, and I get to see Don from such a different perspective. You get to see Don up here speaking to you, his heart. You get to see his heart. You get to see how God has worked in a man for so many years and changed him. You know why? Because he was willing. He's just a guy like any of us are, but he's just willing. He chose his profession to fill a pastoral role. I chose a profession of being an industrial automation guy, and it was great. God has a different plan for me now. God had me there. There's no doubt in my mind. God has me here now. It's a different role. It's okay. Are we willing? Are we willing to take a risk and step in? Don and Scott have poured their lives into us. We have not only received the gospel from them, but we have received their lives. We have received from them a bit of who they are and what God is doing in their hearts. That's what the relationship is about. That's who we are. We are loved so much by them. Don has told us that almost every Sunday that he's here, that he loves us. If he's told us every Sunday, that could be true too. I didn't check every box to see that he did. But he has told us that so much. Are you hearing what he says? That can only happen when he has the love of Jesus inside him. When he is trusting God to take that love that Christ has given him and giving it back to us and pouring it out. That's the only way this can happen. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, and Don will get to this maybe in a couple months at one verse a day, one verse a week, you know, but Don will get to this. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, this is, we loved you so much. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our very selves, because you had become very dear to us. God's love for us is at a point where he desires to be with us. God's love for us tells us, and he tells us in his word that he desires us. He tells us in his word he delights in us. And he can only do that if he loves us. And he proved that on the cross. He proved that on the cross. How much more do we, he says, you have to do to tell you that he loves you? That's why Don is here every Sunday morning that he can be. That's why Scott stood up here all the time. He just wants you to know God loves you so very much. I ask myself, why? Why is God been so good to us? Why has God poured out himself upon us? And he does it freely. I believe that it has to do with prayer. We have a group of people within Grace. They can't always make it to church. They watch us from a distance. Some of them are here that pray for us every day. They pray for us for protection. They pray for us so our hearts are growing. They pray for us for a harvest. They pray for us that we mature. They pray for us that we're humble. They pray for the leaders that we lead well. They pray for us for unity. Pray for us most of all that our neighbors would see the love of Jesus in our lives as we live, as we walk into the street, as we go across the yard and talk to our neighbors, as we do these things. They are praying for us daily to be Jesus, to be that light that shines. Do we believe that God is answering those prayers? I don't think we can deny that. If we believe they do, if we believe our prayers are answered, let's look at Matthew 7:7. Let's read that. Matthew 7:7, this is kind of in the area of the Beatitudes. And there's a whole three chapters in here that goes on, and Jesus is on a roll. And he is feeding us like crazy. But I want to stop here in 7 and read. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who finds, one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if he has a son, and ask for bread, would give him a stone? At the time this was written, the bread was kind of brown, and it was kind of oval-shaped. It looked like a rock. What kind of a father would ask for bread, would they give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a serpent or a snake, it says. There was a fish that swam in the sea, and the fishermen would catch. It would look like a fish, but it really wasn't. It would sting. Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake or a serpent. But if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? If these aren't good things that God has given us, what is? Sometimes life doesn't seem like God is giving us good things. I understand that. Sometimes they're hard. Sometimes it's not fun. But you know what? He's given us. Isn't that why we're here? Because God has given each of us something to bring forward to encourage someone else with. Isn't that why we come? It's because I need encouragement. We all need encouragement. We all need somebody to walk beside us and help us to move from day to day. These are the gifts. It's interesting how Jesus uses the ask, seek, knock, and knock twice. You know, he says it once, and then he says it a second time, just in a different way. I've wondered, does he think we're thick? We don't understand it? I don't know. Probably, you know, because we don't. And he's asking us to pray, is what he's doing. He's asking us to pray. That's what the ask is. The seek is us desiring it in our hearts. It's what we desire. And the knock is asking him, Lord, either come into my heart or I want more. What is this I'm asking for? What is this I'm seeking? Or maybe when we pray, we're like when I was young, we would, especially during Halloween, you'd run up to somebody's door and hit the doorbell and you're gone, right? You hide in the bushes and see them come to the door and then you laugh. Is that like our prayers? We just throw one up there and we're gone. We're off to the next thing. Or are our prayers really our prayers? What are they? Or maybe, just maybe, you've never prayed in your life and you don't know how. You've never prayed in your life and are kind of afraid to, because, you know, this prayer is kind of a reference to this book, and it's a little scary because that book has been set up as something that's maybe not not for me. I just don't know it very well. God doesn't care. He still wants to hear your voice. He loved you before he died on the cross. While we were still sinners, God loved us. He didn't back away from us. He loved us before we started, before we asked, before we would seek, and before we would knock. He loved us long before that. So if he's loving us before that, let's take the time. If we don't know him as our Savior, let's take the time to think through that and understand that God loves me now when I'm still a mess, and God loves me when he's taking me out of it. Because when I come out of it, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I still need his love. I still need his forgiveness. And I still need his grace and mercy. If you haven't ever asked Jesus about some of these things, if you've never prayed, or you want to know a little bit more about that, come and see myself or one of the elders after the service. We'd love to walk with you through that. And maybe you feel prayer is for others who are more qualified. Is anybody more qualified than everybody? Jesus loved and loves us all. We are all the same. And his word tells us that. It doesn't take sides. He just loves us. In James, if we turn to James, this passage here is maybe a little hard to swallow, and that's okay. A lot of Bible is. It's talking about our sinful nature, our quarreling, our fights, our selfishness, all the fallen humanity stuff. It's just who we are as people. We have quarrels, we have fights, we have desires, we covet, it's just who we are. But then he says, if you're going to pray, ask. And if you don't have, it's because we don't ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. I've lived in that way, in that place, too long. It's not trusting that our Father is good. It's not believing that he has the best for me in mind. It's not understanding that no matter what, I can ask. He loves me. Where's my heart? Where is really my heart? That's what God is asking us all the time. Where is your heart? Do you have a heart toward Jesus? Or is it a heart just for what I want? It's for myself. It makes me feel good, and I'm comfortable there. Our Heavenly Father can do abundantly more for his children than we can imagine. That's what he tells us in his word. Abundantly more. If we look at Psalm 149, 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. God takes pleasure in us. And he's willing to give us salvation. God takes pleasure in us. And he's willing to give us salvation. We need to ask, seek, and knock with a trusting heart that God is for us and delights in us. He created us to have a relationship with him and others, but he so wants for us to have a relationship with him. We are his children. He wants to give us good gifts. He does. He really wants to. The same story is in Luke. I believe it's chapter 9. And the good gifts he refers to here in Matthew, Luke put in there the words Holy Spirit. Not sure why, but that's how Luke saw it. So if God is giving us good gifts, and this good gift is the Holy Spirit, do we know what that means? It means more than we can imagine. It is such a huge word, Holy Spirit, because it is the same Spirit that was in Jesus when he was baptized and it came down on him. It is the same Spirit, because he tells us just before he's ready to leave this earth that I'm going to give you a gift. And at Pentecost, that's what happened. The Holy Spirit that was in him while he was on earth came into us when we accept Jesus Christ. That is a gift. That is a gift beyond all gifts. And if you want to understand and know a little bit more about us, about the Holy Spirit, come and talk to us. We'd love to get into that. And everything related to what God gives us or wants to give us is always, always adequate, complete, and beneficial. How do we look at what the Father wants to give us now? If his gifts are good, if his gifts are adequate, complete, and beneficial. All of us have had a gift that you kind of look at and say, well, this isn't worth a whole lot. Our Father doesn't give us gifts like that. So how do we respond? I want to read a passage out of Exodus chapter 4. This is Moses. He's standing at the burning bush. He's talking to God, okay? So picture this. God is asking Moses to go back to Egypt and talk to his people so he can bring God's people out of Egypt. Okay, so that's the picture. The bush is burning and God is there standing there talking to Moses. And God said, or Moses said, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Moses doesn't want to go back and talk to his brothers and sisters in Egypt for this reason. For they will say, the Lord didn't appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. Okay. But the Lord said to Moses, put it in your hand and catch it by the tail. So he did that. He put out his hand and he caught it, and it became a staff in his hand again. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. And again, the Lord said to him, put your hand in your coat. So he did. And he pulled it out. And it was leprous, white as snow. And the Lord said, put it back in. So he did. And he pulled it out, and it was back normal again. Flesh like it should have been. If they will not believe you, God said, or listen to you to the first sign, they may believe with the latter sign. And if they will not believe even then, the two signs are listen to your voice, you shall take some of the water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Okay, these are the miracles that God is telling Moses will happen if he just takes his staff and heads off to Egypt. Moses was willing Was Moses qualified? No, Moses wasn't qualified, but God knew that. Moses accepted, and what happened? It was hard. Moses had to walk through some hard stuff, but Moses knew that God was there. Moses knew God would walk beside him. Moses knew that he was faithful to what he would say, what he said. In fact, Moses did these signs in front of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh laughed at him, but yet all of Israel believed Moses. They didn't like the hard times they had to walk through, but they believed him, and he persevered. He kept on doing what God asked him to do over and over and over again. And the end of the story, he led them out of captivity into the promised land. And God was faithful. If you get to the end of when they reach the promised land and they conquer everything, the words in there tell us God did everything he said he would do. All of his promises came true to a T. All of them. It was perfect. This is the same God that we serve. This is the same God that was then, that is now. This is a God that doesn't change. He's not like the seasons. This is the God we get to serve. This is the God that tells us that he loves us above all else. What is in your hand? Do you have a staff? What is in your hand? What is in your heart? Where are you gifted at? What is God talking to you about? Are we taking the time to listen? Are we taking the time to ask, seek, or knock? My God, what are you saying here? What do you want from me? I want more of you. I want to be part of this, but I don't know how. Ask. Right? That's all he's saying is ask. What is your relationship like to the Savior? Do you want more? Ask. Just ask. That's all he's saying. The worship team can come up. As we think through this, as we walk through this, we say, well, God doesn't answer my prayers. The answers are either yes, no, or just wait, right? I mean, they're there. Are we seeking an answer? Or are we just asking and ringing the doorbell and running away? Are we spending time with him? Are we getting to know him? What are we doing? I want you to think through it. Do you know our Father as a loving Father? Or has your relationship with fathers been strained or pulled or hurtful? Our Heavenly Father is a loving Father. If you want to walk through that again, please come talk to us. We'd love to be part of that. Let me pray for us before we finalize. Father, I just ask that may your Holy Spirit be upon us as we think through these words, as we think of the text that we read today. Father, what is in my hand? Am I willing? Do I want more? Father, you so desire to have a relationship with us. Your heart is for us. And you just want us to come to you and talk and spend time with you. Get to know you. You know us so perfectly. You know everything about us. And you're asking. You're giving us this gift to get to know you. Father, we need you. May we recognize our need. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.